Let's begin our weekly tech show the way we often, nay, always do, with some Elon news. Now, we recently discussed the fact that Don Lemon, the fired CNN host, had found himself fired yet again, sort of. This time during the production of the very first episode of his brand new show, a show developed specifically for the X platform. And the reason for this firing? Well, according to Don, that first episode of his brand new show was to feature an interview with Elon Musk, and that interview had not gone well. Elon had been asked some questions that he didn't like, and that was that.
It's a very hard interview to watch because he seems extremely uncomfortable the entire time.
And us by extension, it is.
When it gets to the tail end of it, where Don Lemon just straight up asks him, "You seem upset. Are you upset?"
It's a train wreck. So yeah, we got a little taste of the interview last week, and the footage certainly did depict what appeared to be a grumpy adult baby reacting very poorly to being asked some very basic questions. Yeah. But since then, the full interview has been posted to X and also YouTube and various podcast platforms.
And to be honest, it's not really worth a full watch unless you're a real glutton for cringe and discomfort. It's literally what we thought it would be. It's Don Lemon asking Elon about the kinds of topics that he has been in the news for in recent months. And since these topics have reflected overwhelmingly negatively for Elon, throughout the interview, he increasingly took these questions as personal attacks. And it's honestly kind of incredible, since Don Lemon is absolutely not what anyone would consider a great journalist, but he still has the basic journalistic skills to ask Elon follow-up questions, to clarify statements that he's made, and then challenge him on points where he's unclear or simply wrong.
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of the Libs of TikTok lady being interviewed
by Taylor Lenz
in person, and it's just like, oh my God, just the basic journalistic skill of being like, "So here's a thing you just said. Could you elaborate on that?"
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck. Shit.
Because in a lot of scenarios, these people are made available for minutes. It's just like a junket for film actors. And they just burn through a bunch of questions. And this was fascinating because you got to sit there and have him ask a direct question, get a response, and then say, "Okay, well, what do you mean by that?"
Yeah, it's really,
and that's when they start just
interesting
completely unraveling.
He seems to have been just like blindsided by that. What?
Yeah, it's strange that he walked right into this.
Like, buddy, you are like one of the most controversial people on earth, and you seem to revel in that controversy.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this is clearly not what Elon thought he was signing up for, and he at one point literally says, quote, "I don't have to answer questions."
Okay.
When Don Lemon brings up the whole great replacement conspiracy theory scandal that led to the most recent mass advertiser exodus. A very newsworthy topic, worthy of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And also a perfect opportunity for Elon to maybe try and demonstrate that he's not some brain-poisoned racist boomer. A real layup opportunity.
This was the point, I believe, where he started breaking down a bit because he asked, "Doesn't the buck stop with you?"
Yeah.
Because you're the one that claims, like, with the president, the buck stops with him.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
a lot of things can go on, but if you're the head of the company,
you can't blame the advertisers for your... Yeah, he didn't like that. But yeah, Elon is, in fact, a brain-poisoned racist boomer, as shown at the various points in the interview where he attacks diversity, equity, inclusion standards at Duke Medical School and the airlines, and claims that the Democrats are letting illegal immigrants flood the country so that they can win elections. None of which is backed up by any evidence.
No. But it is a fascinating interview because it's mostly extremely uncomfortable. And there's not really much to specifically point out if you've already been paying attention to Elon's whole deal lately. He's got a lot of really dumb right-wing opinions that he shares to his timeline constantly, which is funny because before, back when Twitter was biased against conservatives, the guy in charge of Twitter was not boomer posting multiple times a day. But now that Twitter is fair and balanced, the guy in charge of the company is co-signing right-wing opinions on a daily basis and putting out actual propaganda this week.
Yep.
This week, he tweeted out a video to his 177 million followers with the caption, "This is actually happening." A phrase that will now go down in infamy, much like the "you are absolutely correct," or what was the term?
Oh, you've
spoken the real truth, or the actual truth.
That's it. Yes. You have spoken the actual truth.
And so this one is, "This is actually happening." And it's literally just a slickly edited explainer for the great replacement theory, which hinges on the idea that blue states are using illegal immigration to increase their census populations to get more seats in the House of Representatives. This is just literally untrue. In fact, counting the unauthorized immigrant population actually benefits more red states than blue states, and there's tons of data to back that up. And Don Lemon even brought up various angles on this, and Musk was backed right into a corner.
Yeah, it's just, it's an idea that does not stand up to really any scrutiny. Like, if you really, like, start thinking about it, you're like, so wait, Texas could be, could control the whole fucking country if they kept all their immigrants in there. But they know that
in the interview,
that's not really a viable strategy.
Musk brings up that Democrats use the Electoral College against Republicans to skew voting. And Don Lemon very clearly responds with, I think you might be misunderstanding how the Electoral College
is now and has historically and just mathematically
in favor of
small, low population states in the middle of the country.
That typically go for conservatives.
Yes.
It overrepresents them because of those populations.
Yeah. Because it's pretty proportional until you factor in the fact that every state gets two senators. And then it can get very lopsided in the case of, like, really low population states like Wyoming, where they're getting a vote in Wyoming in a federal election is worth, like, several votes in California.
Yes. Elon's perception of the Electoral College was literally the opposite of what it actually is.
Right. But it feels right.
You know? Sure.
So, yeah, Elon's obsession with this kind of thing, along with the whole the DEI thing, which... really, it's largely just racist thinking black people are naturally less good at being doctors and pilots. That's literally it. You don't need to really examine it further.
No, they'll post pictures of a black
pilot. Just literally a picture
like,
of a black pilot being like,
do you feel like getting on this plane? It's like, you are literally racist.
Yeah. So, but it does, you know, it does make you wonder, is Elon Musk a racist? I mean, he did grow up in apartheid South Africa and his companies have been accused of racism with a Tesla racism lawsuit settled just this week. And he certainly doesn't seem to have any problem with racism on his platform. And in fact, has directly gone out of his way to increase the levels of racism. Now, of course, you could just argue that that's just Elon supporting free speech. Except as we've seen, he can be a bit selective about how that free speech is enforced. And it would seem that despite being totally cool with blatant racism on X, Elon is less cool about people tweeting out the real name of one of X's most prominent racists.
But totally cool with tweeting out the real names of the dead names of trans people and other things like that. Just when specifically for some reason, when it's the name of a person who is doing blatant racist cartoons Elon puts a stop to it.
Unambiguously, a public figure.
Yeah.
It's the same way with the Libs of TikTok lady, to go back to her again, these people want to have this massive platform, and she did, where she's like literally directly influencing U.S. politics, but like, oh my God, figuring out my identity through publicly available records, that's doxing. And also, the funniest thing about when that all went down
She doxed herself.
Yeah. So, Taylor Lorenz was following the rabbit crumbs and like, or following whatever, but
the rabbit crumbs
and, sure. Was, you know, calling up, like making phone calls and stuff. And at that point did not have enough information to publish, definitively what her identity was. But then Libs of TikTok lady went on Twitter and is like, Taylor Lorenz is calling up all my family and like trying to figure out who I am. And it's like, okay, well now you've just confirmed it. You fucking moron.
Yeah. Also, like I believe filmed Taylor at her door and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, but back to,
the racist cartoon.
Elon sticking up for racists. So the racist in question is Hans Christian Grabener, better known as Stone Toss, a cartoonist whose work is just undeniably racist. It often veers into full on neo-Nazi territory. Mm-hmm. Unambiguous.
Because it's bubbly and cute doesn't mean it's not fucking racist.
There's nothing sly about it. Yeah. There's no wink and a nod. It's just, it's a racist comic that is very popular among racists. Mm-hmm. Anyway, here's Wired.
X has locked and suspended the accounts of journalists and researchers who shared the alleged identity of a neo-Nazi cartoonist known as Stone Toss after the cartoonist appealed to the site's owner, Elon Musk. The incident, critics say, highlights once again how Musk has not only welcomed extremists onto his platform, but has repeatedly boosted their conspiracies, engaged with their accounts, and seems to have protected them from scrutiny. A lengthy X thread posted by the anti-fascist research group Anonymous Comrades Collective last week claimed that Stone Toss is a man named Hans Christian Grabener from Spring, Texas. Stone Toss cartoons, which feature simple and colorful imagery coupled with racist, homophobic, and anti-Semitic language, have become hugely popular among right-wing communities since they were first published at least 7 years ago. And that's the thing, like, it from a distance, without looking at, like, the what's happening in the comic, you're like, oh, look at that bubbly, cartoony
yeah,
comic.
It does have this weird, like, you know, millennial webcomic style to it.
Yes, it's reminiscent of a less colorful Pepe the Frog comic.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
I mean, it looks like, you know, like the Oatmeal and all those webcomics from back in the day. But yeah, the article then explains the methods that were used, you know, to figure out Stone Toss's identity and how that was all uncovered and how Stone Toss then basically confirmed it as true. Again, just a total own goal, unforced error. Mm-hmm. Could have denied it, but pretty much confirmed it as true by skipping right past the denial stage to the help me Elon stage, which Elon graciously obliged. Back to the article. Hours later, the account associated with the Anonymous Comrades Collective that posted the thread was deleted, and the account was suspended. On Friday, dozens of users, including a number of researchers and journalists, began discussing the incident and posting some of the details of the research, including Gravener's name. X locked down many of these accounts and ordered them to delete the offending tweet to get full access to their accounts back. Among those targeted were Jared Holt, a senior research analyst at the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, who covers right-wing extremism, Hannah Gase, a senior research analyst at Southern Poverty Law Center, and Stephen Monticelli, an investigative journalist for the Texas Observer. Wired has also published Monticelli's work. X also imposed a ban on sharing the link to the Anonymous Comrades Collective blog detailing its research. Wired verified this on Monday morning by attempting to post the link, only to be met with a pop-up message which read, "We can't complete this request because this link has been identified by X or our partners as being potentially harmful."
This, of course, just created a Streisand effect with way more posts about how Stone Toss is Hans Christian Gravener than there probably would have ever been otherwise. And sure, you might argue that there's nothing political here. Elon isn't actively protecting the identity of a popular neo-Nazi. This is just X enforcing its terms of use. And that's the official company line from Elon and from other X representatives. Except, uh-oh, no, it's fucking not. You just made that up because here's the actual policy. The following are not in violation of this policy: sharing information that we don't consider to be private, including name, birthdate, or age, etc. It also says it's not doxing if it's information that's publicly available or is being covered by mainstream media, which it clearly is. So what we have here is yet another example of Elon Musk's very selective dedication to free speech being used to help racists and hurt anti-racists. It's enough to make you wonder if perhaps Elon Musk himself might be a racist.
Yes, curious. Concerning.
Indeed.
Looking into this. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, there's another possibility here. Maybe Elon Musk isn't racist, but he just wants to be loved and knows that appealing to the far right is an easy way to get a ton of dumb people to worship you and always show up to defend your honor.
His brain might just be A, B, black and white, just these people are not nice to me.
No, that's definitely a factor.
And for some reason, these lovely people over here on the right seem to hang on my every word and support me in everything I do.
Especially the more I retweet their stuff, they love me even more.
Yeah.
Our guess is it's a little bit of both. He genuinely believes this shit, but he also likes the attention and knows that this is a great way to get positive attention. Yeah. Plus, Elon being kind of dumb and also on way too many drugs, those are probably factors as well. But this week, we got some very interesting insight into this idea of pivoting to the right solely as a PR strategy via a legal filing in Sam Bankman-Fried's sentencing process. Here's Business Insider.
After FTX declared bankruptcy in November 2022, its founder and former CEO came up with a list of terrible ideas. In a Google document, which was prefaced "random, probably bad ideas" and labeled "confidential," Sam Bankman-Fried listed ways in which he might be able to rebuild his reputation. The list included attacking the bankruptcy lawyers, which he ultimately did, attacking the rival cryptocurrency exchange Binance, ditto, and doing an ABC News interview with author Michael Lewis. Lewis does not work for ABC. The most striking item on the list was going on then Fox News host Tucker Carlson's show to come out as a Republican. On Carlson's show, Bankman-Fried could come out against the woke agenda and also criticize the bankruptcy lawyers who took over FTX and were trying to get money back to defrauded customers, he wrote on the list.
Yeah, and in another section, he listed people and groups that he could potentially ingratiate himself with for public support. And one of the options was alt-right?
Mm.
This particular strategy was never attempted, but other strategies from the doc were, to no avail, of course. This man is going away for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
It's just very fascinating to have it spelled out so plainly that pivoting to the right is a viable PR strategy for someone who otherwise would have trouble getting the public on their side. But back to Elon, though. He does have some other reasons, aside from the culture war anti-woke bullshit for embracing the right wing. Because at the end of the day, that stuff is really just window dressing for a conservative agenda that's mainly about making sure the rich stay rich.
That's the real thing going on here. His aligning himself with conservative values and pushing whatever they want him to is really just for his own self-benefit for his companies.
I mean, I think it's all happening at once in that big brain of his.
I do think his brain has been rotting for a while now. So he is probably believing everything, but it also benefits him in multiple ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, one of conservatives' preferred ways for doing that, making sure the rich stay rich, is avoiding taxation. Mm-hmm. And this may shock you, but it sounds like Elon Musk might be a little bit of a tax cheat.
Oh, my stars.
Here's Gizmodo.
Tesla, the company helmed by one of the richest men on the planet, is a cheapskate when it comes to paying taxes, according to a new report released on Wednesday. In fact, the company paid exactly $0 in federal income taxes over a 5-year period and even managed to get a nice refund. The data on Tesla's tax bills comes via an analysis by Americans for Tax Fairness, also known as ATF.
Ooh,
should change that.
AFTF.
Yeah.
Come on, it's right there.
It's not the alcohol, tobacco, yeah, and firearms.
They're not going to blow up your compound.
No. That's a project that advocates for higher taxes on the wealthy. While it was previously known that Tesla didn't pay taxes early in its lifetime because it was unprofitable, it's notable that the company has continued to avoid paying in recent years, even when it's turned a profit. The AFT's report analyzed the tax bills of 64 companies, including Tesla, in its report from 2018 to 2022. Tesla earned its first full-year profit in 2020 and was also profitable in 2021 and 2022. The company earned $4.4 billion in profit in the 5 years analyzed for the report and received a tax refund of $1 million.
While this might seem confusing, the ATF explains that the main reason Tesla continues to avoid tax bills is that companies are allowed to carry forward excess losses to years with profits, with the old losses canceling out current earnings. However, the AFT points out that it believes Tesla is employing accounting schemes to keep dodging taxes. For instance, despite the fact that during the 5-year period under study, roughly half of all Tesla's revenue came from the United States, domestic earnings accounted for less than a quarter of its worldwide income, the ATF writes. That implies the company is shifting American profits to offshore tax havens, a frequently used corporate tax dodging strategy. The report also highlights that while Tesla may not want to pay taxes, it's more than happy to bestow riches on Elon Musk, its CEO. Tesla paid Musk $2.5 billion during the period analyzed for the report, with the majority paid out in stock options. Furthermore, the ATF highlights that Tesla is happy to receive government subsidies, grants, and loans for its business, even though it doesn't like paying taxes.
So yeah, Elon might be a right-wing nut job because he believes in that shit, but he also could just be trying to promote the political ideology that's less interested in properly taxing his companies. And not just that, letting him get away with whatever he wants.
Yeah. Laissez-faire.
It's stuff like letting huge companies roll over their losses even when they're profitable and hide away their profits in offshore tax havens. They're not particularly appealing to the average voter. But being mad about the woke agenda is, and then scaring everyone into believing that they're going to get eaten alive.
Yeah, by immigrants.
That's the other one he was pushing a week ago.
Wait, eaten alive by what? Cannibal? Oh,
yeah. The cannibal one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So conservatives chum the waters with the anti-woke stuff so that voters elect people more willing to let billionaires avoid taxes. They are playing every single one of them for a fool.
Yeah. And it's a very effective strategy.
It works.
It works.
They make you scared. They want to sell you the cure. And meanwhile, they're just lining their pockets.
Generally, big public figures like this aren't really willing to like get down in the mud promoting the bullshit. Elon, though, he's happy. He's happy to get on there and post like your grandpa every day.
Because he's legitimately been pilled.
Yeah, pilled and like literally pilled. Yeah. He's got holes in his brain from doing too much ketamine.
Well, anyways... That's enough. Just a small dose prescribed by a medical doctor once every couple of weeks or every week or every other week. I don't know. I'm high on ketamine
right now. I do just sort of take it whenever I feel like it.
Yeah.
Which my doctor,
A medical doctor.
Yeah. And everyone knows, like, the personal doctor of every billionaire is a totally on the level.
Yeah.
And not just a fucking quack.
Anyways, enough Elon for this week. It is now, of course, time to switch gears to another recurring topic on this show. Sorry, it's inescapable. That's just the way things are happening right now.
That's the way the news goes.
Good callback. We're, of course, talking about AI, artificial intelligence.
And we should start with an update to the ongoing Kate Middleton saga that really underlines how ill-prepared the general public is for our new AI future. Mm-hmm. Now, the big concern with generative AI is, of course, misinformation, with AI-generated images being presented as real. But there's a flip side to that that underlines the real problem, which is just a general public distrust of all images by a general public with very little understanding of how generative AI actually works. So anyway, Kate Middleton has apparently been seen in public for the first time in months in a grainy video film from far away of her walking with her husband on a shopping trip. It, you know, we've been primed to be very suspicious of this, having not seen this woman in months. The whole situation is very weird. And the fact that they're like, oh, there she is off there, like Fox Mulder in the later seasons of the X-Files.
I still think this is a totally fun and cool conspiracy theory that Americans can enjoy freely.
Yeah.
So, in the honor of keeping it going, I fully believe everyone online when they say that the guy that shot the video was a working production guy and that he hired someone that is also a Kate Middleton impersonator to sell the video to TMZ.
Honestly, it could be. I'm not disputing that. We're not disputing any of these possibilities, which remain unconfirmed, yes. Allegedly.
Yeah. And what was it, like the city of Dublin posted, cut them out of it and was like, here's Kate Middleton visiting our lovely airport.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Anyways, yeah. The whole saga has been very weird and suspicious. So people naturally were skeptical of the new footage, with many speculating that the woman in the video is some sort of body double.
Yes.
And who the hell knows? But to confirm their suspicions, people started running screenshots of this footage through AI upscaling tools and to get a clearer look at the face of the woman in the video. And, oh no, that's not Kate Middleton. And AI is never wrong.
The AI has proven.
Yes.
That is a different woman.
The AI has taken this grainy footage and made it absolutely perfect and identified clearly that this is not Kate Middleton.
That is someone else.
In the same way that they do that with potential criminals here in the United States.
Yep, and it works every time, baby.
But no, that's not how any of this works. No. The idea of enhancing a grainy photograph was popularized years ago by the CSI shows, but there's simply no way for a computer to actually do that. It can hallucinate what it thinks it might be, but it's not going to do exactly
what
it is.
It's like if I show you two dots, one here and one here, you're going to be like, okay, there's probably a line going this way, mm-hmm. but you don't fucking know.
What AI enhanced tools do is consult a massive library of training data to take an educated guess about filling in the blanks, and it can produce comically incorrect results. Like that classic photo of pixelated Obama getting enhanced and spitting out a picture of some white guy. If you squint, you can see where the algorithm was coming from. It's a good guess, but it's also totally fucking wrong.
Yeah. So it's very interesting that people are like, okay,
everything
I'm hearing about AI is that it's always correct and very good. Mm-hmm. So let's use AI to check on whether this is actually a photo of Kate Middleton. Aha. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. We've figured it out. So yeah, the dangers of AI, they continue to be this weird double-edged sword of what it's actually capable of doing and what it's not capable of doing, despite people assuming that it can do. And the result is just a general societal distrust of everything. And that seems bad.
Yeah.
Especially because that distrust is pretty warranted. Pretty much every AI tool that comes out has a handful of legitimate use cases and an endless amount of nefarious use cases. And a great example of this from last week is a new AI tool from Google called Vlogger. this isn't anything particularly new. Other companies have done this exact thing before, but it is interesting that it's Google promoting it. Basically, you give the AI a still photo and some spoken word audio, and it creates a realistic video of the person in the photo saying those words, along with realistic facial expressions, head movements, and hand gestures. As the name implies, this is being presented as a way for people to vlog, with one AI Twitter account declaring, "Now anybody can become a YouTuber." But wait, hold on. That's fucking stupid. What are you talking about? Shut the fuck up.
They can already become a YouTuber. What are you talking about? Anyone with a phone can film themselves talking and upload that to YouTube. This solves a non-existent problem. Also, this specific tech and the way it looks has been around for like over a decade. They were getting the Mona Lisa to talk years ago.
I mean, this is a little more, this has like an actual like body movement.
I know, but
isn't just like a jib-jabbing up.
Yeah,
like,
that's the first thing it reminded me of is like the dancing elves around
Christmas.
This is
a little more convincing than that.
So nobody is going to use it to become a YouTube vlogger.
Yeah, that's so weird.
The fact is strange.
That they literally named it vlogger. Yeah. Oh, man. So many people who previously were unable to vlog, now the future is theirs. What?
What people will use this for is making videos of people saying stuff that they never actually said. Like, hey, I'm Elon Musk, and if you go to this shady link and connect your crypto wallet, I'll give you a free Bitcoin.
Oh, well, that is Elon, and he did say it.
He has a badge that says wallet inspector.
He's the world's smartest man, so here you go, Elon.
So this has obviously already been a problem for a while, but it's just fascinating seeing one of the biggest tech companies on Earth show off a product that's a scammer's dream come true and pretend that it's a practical solution to the age-old problem of not being able to vlog. Fuck you, Google.
Yeah, shut the fuck up. What are you doing? And like, it drives me mad. Like, all these companies claim that, like, you know, we're really concerned about, you know, mitigating potential risks. But like, they present this stuff like as if this has never even fucking occurred to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh yeah, I guess now that you mention it, yeah, this could maybe be used by someone with bad intentions. But I mean,
we had to be first to market. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and simply the time has come. It's taken so long for people who want to vlog to be able to vlog.
Did you see the guy who did a thread about he saw his mom's like Facebook homepage, and a majority of the things in the newsfeed are AI creations, and it's always like, my husband built this crib. Take a look and let me know what you think.
Oh, yeah, it's a big problem. All the, like, viral click
farm. My son made a cake.
Yeah, the click farm accounts on Facebook are apparently just, it's, like, 100% just AI. And all, people have taken screenshots of the comment section. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to tell because maybe the people commenting are also AI, but if nobody says, like, hey, that's fucking fake. They're all just like, well, they're probably, very cool, beautiful.
These pages absolutely have, like, moderation tools in place to, like, block
maybe
any conversation about it.
It's just very weird. The internet is dead. It's just a bunch of robots talking to each other. It sucks.
Yeah, Twitter is the actual first glimpse of this happening, because I don't think anyone our age anymore or younger goes on Facebook. So, but, yeah, the nefarious purpose for this, as explained in the multiple threads about it, is, like, someone asked, okay, but why? Why does this exist? And it's like, okay, well, you can make, I guess, some ad money off of it. But the more nefarious use case is gathering up a bunch of really old people who are susceptible to scams and then flipping the switch one day and actually scamming them.
Yeah.
Or turning it into like a conservative meme group or something like that. But in general, it's like these people are very easily fooled, obviously. So we've got a million people who are very easily fooled. And all it takes is now one or two posts convincing them to click on something, and you've just paid for all of that work. Which is a real upsetting...
It's not good.
Yeah. Real upsetting thing.
But in other AI news, there's, of course, the ongoing issue of whether any of this shit is even legal, mm-hmm. due to the fact that every big generative AI product was trained on mountains of copyrighted works, which can be reproduced verbatim with the right prompt. It's undeniable. That shit's in there.
Mm-hmm.
You ask for, like, action movie still, and it shows you a scene from, like, Marvel's Avengers.
Yeah.
Wow, it's weird. How did it know that? Because
it's more creative than you think, actually.
Yeah, wow. So, yeah, this is something that the legal system will be figuring out for the foreseeable future. But meanwhile, the AI companies themselves are very coy about their training data. Though maybe not coy enough, as evidenced by a recent Wall Street Journal interview with OpenAI's chief technology officer.
This is why they need the images, the still images turned into moving voices, so they can't see their actual reactions, because
this is incredible.
Here's a clip.
What data was used to train Sora?
We used publicly available data and licensed data.
So, videos on YouTube?
I'm actually not sure about that.
Okay. Videos from Facebook, Instagram?
You know, if they were publicly available, publicly available to use, there might be the data, but I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not confident about it.
So what was that face? What was that face? Huh. I don't believe you. Do I look suspicious? Yeah, so that
Oh, God, oh, God. She asked about copyrighted materials. Be cool.
Yeah.
Fuck.
That is the face you make when someone asks if your AI video product is built off of millions of hours of other people's videos, right? That's the face you make. Right before you, the chief technology officer of OpenAI, say that you're actually not sure about that.
How would I know? I've just run the technology side of this company.
Literally, it is just a title.
I don't know. I'm just some person.
Is that even your facial expression, or did you just steal it from a YouTube video of that guy in L.A. Noir who's really bad at lying?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So yeah, that's incredible, and it's just so cool that no one at these companies can really like give firm answers on anything
because
about
that
their
would
products.
Implicate them in potential crimes.
Yes, but it's just an ongoing pattern of like they won't explain anything about how they were built, and they're really bad at explaining like what any of this shit is for.
Yeah, what is the point?
What is the actual purpose of this?
Also, like, people are calling out
seems like
out
they're just
that...
doing it because they can and because everyone's like clapping like, hey, more AI. But like, what is this for? What is the end game? And it's very interesting. Like Adobe's stock fucking took a shit last week because people are just like, wait, so you're spending all this fucking money on this AI stuff and you have no data to support the idea that any of this is actually being used or adding value to your product. In fact, there's evidence that people are more and more inclined to abandon Creative Cloud because they hate what you're doing here.
Yeah.
Other companies are apparently, they're trying to tamp down expectations for AI. They're like, wait, look, we know we said this would be huge in like 2024, 2025. Maybe stretch it out to 5 years.
Yeah.
It's looking more and more like VR, which like came out over 10 years ago. And
they're already
are
using
like,
it in movies. That movie that... it apparently has great reviews, just got called out for using AI in the graphic stuff.
Yeah. That was very disappointing.
I'd be interested
late night
to see
with the devil.
I'd be interested to see at what point in the production that came in, because it I would hope that the actual production team behind it didn't make that decision and it was like the studio being like, oh, we need the graphics.
So yeah, in that one it's like the movie takes place in like the 70s and it's like a 1970s like we'll be right back graphic. The movie is about a talk show. And yeah, you look at it and you're like, that is undeniably AI art. There's just like weird, it looks like an illustration, but no illustrator would ever add these like weird little details there. Like it wouldn't make sense. And the hands are all fucked up. And it's just like, yeah, that really takes me out of like the immersion of watching a movie that's supposed to be like a found footage horror movie from the 70s. Yeah. If it is just blatantly fucking obvious that a graphic you're using in it was created by fucking Dali.
I had a first hand experience with it. I was at the dentist the other day, and on the TV they like to put on the natural or like the relaxing music. Mm-hmm. So they go up to YouTube and they're like relaxing whatever. Literally the fucking graphic that's on this video was completely AI. It was like an AI creation of a cafe, but it was clearly AI. Like plants were going in ways they shouldn't have gone. All of the menu board out front was all scribbles.
Blah, 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 blah.
The word didn't make sense. And at that point, and I was sitting there. And after a while, I was like, I think the music is AI, too.
Yeah, it's an increasing problem with like...
And I had to sit there and fucking deal with it.
I mean, Spotify has always had a problem of just like spammers. I see it on my like automated playlist, like Discover Weekly, where like someone will just take the name of an existing band and say that their music is that band. Mm-hmm. So it'll be like, it's like... I hear 2 seconds of it. I'm like, what the fuck is this? That's not who that is. But they do it to get on playlists and shit. And it's become increasingly a problem with music that I'm pretty fucking sure is AI generated in some way because it just sounds so generic. It just sounds like someone just like hitting submit on a form over and over again and just like dumping that shit on there.
It's the new like content farm. It's just you shotgun blast the internet with a bunch of garbage. And if some of it makes some money somewhere, somehow, then it's worth it because it cost you essentially nothing.
But the internet is going to be just like 90% like fake fucking crap.
That's what we have to survive as long as possible. Also, yeah, it is funny. Like YouTube's thing is like, don't worry, everyone. We made it so that people
have to acknowledge
if you used some AI stuff, which
good.
It's literally the video of that security guy going, all right, come on. Also, it could potentially, like, if we cover AI stuff, like, I don't think that we'd have to like mark that, but like, yeah, it's a, it's a, they need to be a little more clear with what they're talking about.
There was like a whole year where they just assumed anyone talking about COVID-19 was spreading COVID-19 disinformation.
Yes.
That was a great time. So yeah, it wouldn't be surprising. It was just like anyone talking about AI is doing an AI generated video, and they didn't check the box saying their video is fake. So no money for you.
And that's why I can't say the Terminator guy's name anymore, because it thought I said the N-word. Remember that?
Arnie.
Arnold.
Arnold S.
Arnold the Terminator. He's our favorite action hero, isn't he, folks?
We all love Arnold. All of
Arnold
his many
the Terminator.
Movies, all of his many 1980s hits. He was doing action films, and they said, no, he can't do comedy. We're not going to give any money to the studio to make that movie Twins. That's a crazy idea. But you know what he did, folks? He made Twins. Him and Ivan Reitman and Danny DeVito, they made it. Nobody believed in it. And it was a huge success.
And then they did a little reunion on the stage of the Oscars. But no one can remember his last name. I can't remember it anymore after YouTube and their closed captioning displayed on our video that I had said the N-word.
Thank you,
so
AI.
His name is Arnold the Terminator from now on.
Yeah, Terminator Arnold.
That's his name. Anyways, this video is not sponsored, so you're the sponsor. Click the join button, but at the very least, if you don't want to do that, it's fine. At the very least, leave a like, leave a comment, and we'll see you soon for some more news. If you haven't already, we got Broke Trump. We got Titanic 2. One crazy guy's really rich. One crazy guy's getting broke.
We loved it.
Check that out.
Don't we, folks?
Check that out. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.